Have you ever participated in one of those conversation threads on social media where you post your most recent photo? It can be fun or even funny to see what your friends are taking pictures of. Let me pull out my phone. It's a video of me and my dog, Moose, walking in the farm fields beside my house. Oh, I treasure those walks with my furry friend. Well, today, Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth is going to share a few memories she's treasuring.
I want to start our time today by sharing with you some snapshots, some photos, not from my camera roll, but from my head and heart.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth, author of Choosing Gratitude. For December 9th, 2024, I'm Dana Gresh. I realize you're listening to an audio-only program here, so Nancy can't show you any literal photos. But let's listen as she shares some highlights from recent months at Revive Our Hearts. She was speaking just a few weeks ago to a gathering of our ministry partners in Colorado Springs. Here's Nancy.
Sometimes at the end of the year, Robert and I will pick up our phones, maybe just around the dinner table, and we'll start scrolling through our photos and thinking about what we've done over the past year. You know, some of the, like we did it 4 months ago, and we, oh yeah, I forgot, we had the greatest time at dinner with that couple or that friend who did was some kindness to us, and we just start reminiscing and reflecting about our year, people we've met, experiences we've had, opportunities the Lord has given us together and with others to be a blessing or to be blessed, to serve Him, to serve others. And so I want to start our time today by sharing with you some snapshots, some photos, not from my camera roll, but from my head and heart. The eyes of my heart, as I think back over this past year and see how God has been working, what He's been doing, some selected snapshots from this past year, some highlights that stand out in my mind as we think of how God is moving. And there are two words that we've been using a lot around Revive Our Hearts, and you'll hear these reflected in different ones of these snapshots. The first word is generational. We're seeing God take this message from one generation to the next, and passing it on. It makes me feel old, but I'll admit that it's thrilling to me to see now. I'm hearing stories of third and even fourth generation impact and response to ways that people have been blessed and encouraged and served by this ministry. So we're being very intentional about saying, Lord, don't let this just be a boomer message, but let it press deep into the hearts of the next generation and the generation beyond that. So you'll hear some of that. So generational, and then you'll hear the word or get the sense of global. As God is spreading the message, not just taking it down into next generations and sometimes up, but generationally, but also globally. As we're seeing God spread the message through people like us. And others who are, we heard Albert sharing about how God has worked in Sabrina's life, and you'll hear from them later this week about how the Farsi-speaking women with Persian or Iranian background are being reached. If you're reading your news, you know, that's a really precious and needed outreach into the hearts of women with 110 or 120 million people in the world who speak Farsi. I don't speak a word of Farsi, but Sabrina does. And God's worked in her heart, and now that message is going out globally to those women and through others in this ministry as well. So just some, I want to say random, but they're not random. They're just selected highlights. One that comes to my mind is a woman that I had a chance to meet several weeks ago. She was in a recording session, and this is a woman who's a missionary in Portugal. Her name is Sarah, and she was going to be on furlough home in the States and not too far from where we live. And we asked her to share a little bit of how she connected with Revive Our Hearts. So I want you to listen to just a short audio clip of what Sarah shared with us that afternoon. Let's roll that.
I started with my mom, who listened to Elizabeth Elliott's program, Gateway to Joy. And I remember one day I came home from college break, and she told me they have this new young person who's taken over a program, and now it's called Revive Our Hearts, and it was you. And she immediately was listening to your program as well. After I finished college, I became a teacher, and thankfully, My job had me working at more than one school, and my lunch break, where I had to drive from one school to the other, was exactly at the moment that your program was on the radio. And so it was the year before I got married, and you helped me grow so much teaching on the Proverbs 31 woman and other things like that. And so I really, really grew, just like my mom grew a lot through your program. And then when we moved to Portugal, I didn't have a radio station where I could hear you, but eventually I was able to get a phone where I could start listening to your podcasts, and that's helped me in a huge way as a wife and now a mother. And honestly, there's so many days of giving out to others that for you, I felt like you've been like a Sunday school teacher to me, or somebody who has been pouring into me as I try to pour into other people. And so now, so many of the resources are in Portuguese, and I'm so thankful that you guys have done this, because before I would try to take what I learned and explain it to the ladies, but to have now the podcast directly in their language, many of the books and resources in their language, I've had ladies in our church come up to me with tears in their eyes and just be like, oh, Sarah, that podcast. And they are getting so blessed by these resources as well. And so you've influenced three generations of my family. And now, and my daughter, she's got your books. She's doing some of the studies. My son got the Lies Boys Believe book this year for Christmas. And of all the toys that he'd asked for and anything else, that book was his favorite gift that he got for Christmas. He came up and apologized. He's like, Mom, I know I was supposed to read this little by little, but I read the whole thing in 2 days. I'm sorry. And he loves it. And so, like I said, three generations of my family, you guys have influenced. And now the people that we're ministering to in Portugal are being influenced too. So just thank you so much for investing in all of us.
Amen. So you hear some generational impact and some global impact just in that 1 2-minute clip. Let me share another from the camera roll of my heart from this year. I received a note not too long ago, a handwritten letter from a young mom named Hannah. And she said, when I was about 14 years old, my dad encouraged me to tune into a radio program called Revive Our Hearts that he had recently stumbled upon. That began my journey with ROH. Now, almost 22 years later, I'm a wife and mother of three small children. She said, after a number of years of losing touch with your ministry, I reconnected about 4 years ago when my first daughter was a baby and I was struggling a lot as a new mom. Thus began our family tradition of turning on the ROH daily podcast during breakfast prep time and while I feed my little flock. Now my two little girls ask about listening to Miss Nancy, and they try to say freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ in unison at the end of each program. She said, recently my little 4.5-year-old Abigail was able to earn her first bit of money ever. She was so excited, and she said she wanted to give some to ROH so they could tell more people about Jesus. And then in that letter was enclosed $11. And also a precious note for me from little Abigail. Dear Miss Nancy, I love you and I enjoy listening to ROH. Love, Abigail, 4 years old. And then this picture that she had colored for me. Well, I couldn't pass up the chance. And so I took the opportunity to call Hannah and her precious children. And we scheduled a call and I wanted to hear more about their story. And Hannah shared that Abigail has cystic fibrosis. And so the way she earned her money was the hospital that she's connected to was doing a study, asked if she would like to do the study and she would make a little money. And the parents said, Abigail, do you want to do this? And she said, yes. And then she said, specifically, I want to give $11 to Revive Our Hearts. The mom said, I don't know where that number came from, but that's specifically what she said she wanted to send. So I want to play for you just a short clip of the end of our call that we recorded that day, and you'll get to hear these little girls, Abigail and her little sister. Now, your mom told me that you and your little sister like to say something that you hear at the end of our program every day. Do you remember what that is?
Yeah, we don't promise fruitfulness in Christ.
I love that. Freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. I think you're the youngest person I've ever heard say that.
And Abigail wants you to know that one of her favorite songs to sing is Come Thou Fount.
Really? Well, you know, we play that on the program every day, just the music part of it.
That's right. Abigail, do you want to sing just the first line of it for her?
No, found a blessing. My hope's truth in the grace.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. I love that. How precious is that?
So, girls, can you thank Miss Nancy for taking the time to call us today?
Thank you, Miss Nancy.
Aww. I love you. Bye.
I love you. Bye, sweet girls.
I love you. Bye.
Generational, think of the seeds being planted in those little girls' hearts. A dad who introduced his 14-year-old to this message from God's word. That's what makes it powerful. And then she's now introducing it to her little children, and so it goes on. Well, I received another letter. This one was from a little girl. I'm going to call her Addie. That's not her real name, but this letter came, and Barton Jones, his wife Helen, is on our prayer team, and she received this one as one to pray for, and they sent it to me saying, we think you'd want to know about this, and I sure did. Here's what she wrote. She said, my name is Addie. My mom does not really read the mail unless it is a bill or something like that, but I always read it. When I read the mail from you, I thought I should give something. Now, what she had received was a monthly letter we send out to a lot of our ministry constituents, and this one was talking about a resource we were offering for those who are praying for prodigals. That's the letter that little Addie opened. She said, I know you're supposed to give in a check or something like that, but I am only 10 years old, so the only form of money I have is in cash. Please send me a copy of While You Wait for Your Prodigal. Me, my mom, and three younger siblings are currently waiting for a prodigal, our dad. He has been gone for over 8 months. We found out just a few weeks ago that he has been living with another woman. Please pray for him, Addie. And then she said, my mom listens to Revive Our Hearts. P.S. Money is in envelope inside. I know it is not much. And she enclosed $25. We had said a gift of any amount if you'd like to receive this book. Well, I found her mom's name on our database, and Robert and I called her together, and I'm thinking, I don't know if this mom knows that her daughter did this. So I had to handle it kind of carefully, and in fact, the mother did not know anything about the letter or the $25, and her little girl was on the phone with her. So I'm kind of going, you know, Addie, did your mom know that you wrote this letter? No. Well, in God's providence, the moment we called, it was at dinner time, that precious woman had been for the last 10 hours on a Zoom mediation meeting in relation to her marriage, estranged marriage, and child custody. And she was utterly spent. She was exhausted. She was emotional, and she could not believe that God had sent this call at that moment. She was so deeply grateful. So we have here a picture of this mom and her three little girls and a little boy. There is Addie when she received the book that she had ordered, While You Wait for Your Prodigal. And I've been texting back and forth with this mom. In fact, I texted late last night and she did back early this morning. It's a long story, but just this one quote from her text recently. She said, you don't know how many times I've listened to Revive Our Hearts while she's been going through an extremely messed up marriage situation. How many times I've listened and just wept and wept, and it's been exactly what I needed at the exact moment. I hope you keep that image. That's on the camera roll of my heart from this year, is this precious mom and this little girl who's going to grow up. She could grow up bitter, angry, dysfunctional, rebellious because of a dad who is not at all what God intended a parent or a dad or a man should be. But God is putting grace in her mom's heart. And it's the grace of God that is shaping this little girl's life. I have been challenging myself and our staff, what a blessing they are, but that I want us to be humble, holy, happy servants of the Lord, and that I want us to live in harmony with each other and with the Lord. So that's what we're aspiring to. Well, let me just give you in the last few minutes I have here a couple of short takeaways from my own personal study this year as I've been preparing the Wonder of the Word teaching sessions. And what a joy this has been. It's hard work. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, and I don't know why I waited until 66 to start it. But it's also so joyful because I get to spend my days, virtually every day, soaking in the Word and letting the Lord speak to me and then preparing meals to share with women that you'll hear more tomorrow about how those will be translated into languages and shared with women around the world. But a couple of things that have really spoken to my own heart about this ministry as I've been in that study. We started in Genesis. I'm in the middle of 2 Samuel right now. But when we came through Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges, some things were very apparent, and that's the importance of doing a good handoff. God showed Moses that Joshua was to be a successor, his successor, and God made that very clear, and Moses prepared the way, and Joshua had been being prepared for many years, and you see a really good handoff there. But what happened after Joshua? Yeah, what about Judges? There was no king. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. It was bedlam. It was chaos. Now, this is all in God's providence. He was preparing for the monarchy, for the kingship, and all of this preparing for King Jesus. So this wasn't a mistake on God's part. And God uses even the foolishness and the wrath of men ultimately to praise him. But as I've been living in those passages, I've been realizing the importance of handoff from one generation to the next. You may remember in the 2024 Summer Paris Olympics, the U.S. men's 4x100 meter relay team, the first runner, and these were amazing runners, but the first runner botched the handoff to the second one, and the second one almost had to slow down, almost had to like come to a stop in order to accept the baton, and by the time he received it, the U.S. team was out of position and placed dead last in that race. And then, to add insult to injury, that team was later disqualified because that exchange took place outside of the approved handoff zone. It was a mess all the way around. And I just remember hearing them talk about that and saying, oh, Lord, don't let us botch the handoff. We cannot botch the handoff. It's true as our ministry. It's true as one generation of believers to another. It's true in our churches. It's true in our families. What a responsibility we have with whatever stewardship God has entrusted to us to preserve it and protect it and pass it on to the next generation. I received a text this morning by a friend who's in the room today, and she said, just encourage me because that's what we're talking about here. She said, your ministry to me as a mom, wife, daughter, and grandmother has challenged me to teach the next generation. We've got to do it. We've got to equip women to do that. And dads need it too, but our focus is on helping the women do that. We're thinking of ourselves as carrying this mission, carrying this message, carrying this precious treasure in these clay pots that we are, but passing them on, passing that light on, passing that message on to your daughters, to your granddaughters, to their children, generation after generation, should the Lord tarry. So this is something that the Revive Our Hearts board and the Revive Our Hearts leadership team is being very intentional about and has been for years. But the older we all get, the more we have to think strategically about what does that handoff look like? And we don't have all the answers. And the Lord directs. We're trusting him, we're walking with him, but we're also being proactive. We're being proactive about pouring into the lives of younger women who love the Lord, love his word, women who have a heart for ministry. They're reaching out to us, and I'm often speaking into their lives. This is not something you'll see, you know, in our newsletters or here on the broadcast, but behind the scenes and emails and phone calls and texts, Laura is doing this with the Latin team. We're pouring into the lives, into their marriages, into the ministry God's giving them in their local churches and elsewhere. We're praying, we're asking the Lord, trusting the Lord to raise up and identify individuals to pick up the baton from our current leaders. And hopefully that won't all be exactly at the same time, but over these next several years in his timing. So looking for people, not just who have skills, but people who have who love Jesus, who love his word, who love ministry, who are sold out to the gospel and walk in his grace. So that's something you can be praying about with us, is that the Lord will help us in this season of handoff. And that's something that has been highlighted to me in my study of the word this year. And then kind of related to that, when I got to 1 Samuel, I came to this amazing woman, Hannah, a desperate woman. Handoffs and Hannah. That's how you're going to remember this. Hannah, a desperate woman who longed for a son. She wasn't receiving the son. But the desperation led to prayer, to cry out to the Lord. You know, when we're not desperate, we're not as motivated to pray, right? Desperation makes us pray. And that's what happened to this woman. And in God's time, a son was given to Hannah, but not for Hannah. A son for her to give back to God, who would grow to be a man, a prophet that the nation desperately needed. So God's plan for Hannah wasn't that she'd have all these little kiddos around her and just be this happy mom in her happy little house. No, this was going to be a life of sacrifice. And isn't that what motherhood and fatherhood is all about? It's God entrusting a gift for a time that then you pass on to God's purposes and his use. And as I think about Hannah and this, the power of a praying woman and how women today are so powerful, so influential. You see this in the recent election season and the power of women who are fervent about what they believe. And the public power of these masses of women. One call for a political candidate that broke Zoom with 160,000 women. And I listened to most of that Zoom call, and they were strident, and they were angry, and they were belligerent. And I'm going, oh Lord, these are powerful women. And then you see little Hannah, who was really powerful. It's a woman in her home, living with disappointment, and unmet expectations, and getting to know God, and then receiving in God's time a gift. And this praying woman, would you believe she raised a praying son? You see, Samuel's a praying man all through the scripture, but she didn't really get to raise him. She only had him till he was weaned. Might have been age 3, 5 at the most in that culture. But she poured something into that child's life that when she took him to the temple to live in a wicked, corrupt environment, he was a man of God. He was a man of prayer. That's what he grew up to become because of a praying mom and her influence. You wonder who has the real power in the world and in our nation today? I think it's probably some women that whose names will never be in our history books. They'll never be on the news. But in the annals of heaven, in the history books, the records of heaven, it's their names. They're the ones who are bombarding heaven, crying out to the Lord, surrendering, saying, Lord, I give you my disappointments. I give you my longings. I'm willing to give you my children, everything. And those are the women that God uses in many cases to shape history. Those are the women we want to be raising. Well, I've gone past my time. I just want to give you one word of encouragement again from my reading and study this year. It's not a snapshot, but it's a word of encouragement for you. Speaking of 1 Samuel and Samuel, Samuel was such a man of God. He was a revival man. And in 1 Samuel 7, you read about a revival at a place called Mizpah. The people had been backslidden and walking away from God for years. It was a desperate situation. But then it says the people began to long for God. And Samuel was ready. He knew what to do, and he called the people to get rid of their idols, to confess their sin. He called a gathering. Well, the Philistines heard about the gathering, and they thought, this is our time to strike. So all these people are repenting, and here comes the opposing army. Isn't it just like the devil, while there's a great work of God going on, he's going to send in his forces to attack it? And so the people are repenting and getting rid of their idols, but now they're terrified because here come the Philistines. And they cried out to Samuel, and they said, pray for us. And so 1 Samuel says he cried to the Lord on behalf of Israel, and the Lord answered him, supernaturally defeating the enemy. It's an amazing story. Go back and read it in 1 Samuel chapter 7. But then, afterward, Samuel took a stone and he set it upright between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer. It's a word that means stone of help. A stone with a name. A monument, a memorial. And he explained, the Lord has helped us to this point. And always for generations to come, that monument would be there. And their children would ask him, what's that about? Well, that's where the Lord helped us. He's helped us to this point. It would always be a reminder for one generation to tell the next of what God had done, how he had been so faithful and good and kind to his people, how he had come to their rescue. To this point, the Lord had helped them. He had never failed. And then when the people got in trouble later on, they could look at that stone and they could remember, God never failed us to this point. He's been our helper. He's going to be faithful to us now. He's going to help us now. God had promised to help them whenever they turned to him. And again, he kept his promises. A woman wrote me recently after she heard me teach on this, and she said, we actually have an Ebenezer in our, she had one in her home and one outside her home from some construction work. Do we have that? We can just, you can see that. Their driveway was, their porch or something was torn up this year. So she piled up those stones and made it Ebenezer. She sent that to me. But as we think about that word and the promises of God, wherever you may be today, we need those Ebenezers reminding us, yes, the Lord has helped us to this point. He has been faithful. He's been merciful. We praise him. But we're in trouble now again. So what do? We praise him because we remember he has helped us to this point. He is our Ebenezer, and he will help us in our present difficulty. Well, what about all the difficulties to come? What if an election goes this way? What if my boss does this? What if our church does that? We remember that God's mercies, his help, his faithfulness has been fresh and new every morning. He will not fail to help us now, and he will not fail to help us in the future in whatever difficulties we may encounter all the way home. God's word is so precious. It is so rich. It is so current. It gives us exactly what we need for every day, for every moment, for every circumstance, for every issue in our lives.
Thank you, Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth, for sharing some of what you've been meditating on recently and some of those snapshots from the camera roll of your heart. We're so thankful for the ways God is using Revive Our Hearts both generationally and globally. And if you've ever given to support this ministry, you've played a part in reaching women all around the world with the message of freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. Thank you so much. As you probably know, December is a crucial month for us at Revive Our Hearts. That's because 44% of the donations we receive in a year come in the month of December. Now, some friends of our ministry want to give you an incentive to make a donation, so they've committed to match all December donations, dollar for dollar, up to a total of $2 million. That means if you give $50, they'll match it with another $50. $100 becomes $200, and so on. So, would you pray about what the Lord would have you give? And then contact us with your donation. You'll help us to be set up in a healthy place financially for 2025. You can give online through reviveourhearts.com or by calling us at this number, 1-800-569-5959. Once again, it's 1-800-569-5959. And again, thank you so much. Well, in the midst of the Christmas season chaos, it's easy to lose the wonder of what it's really all about. Tomorrow, Nancy will help us focus on our wonderful Savior, Jesus, as she looks at a famous Old Testament prophecy. Join us for that on Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.